Indiana's 2012 General Assembly got underway on Wednesday, and even though it's a so-called short session, it almost certainly won't be short on legislative proposals or political drama. We'll do our best to help you follow and make sense of every twist and turn during this, the 31st season of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm your host, John Schwantes, pleased to be back for a 16th year. In a moment, we'll sit down with the leaders of the General Assembly's four legislative caucuses. With no state budget to craft, we'll ask about their top priorities for the session. How will the Super Bowl affect what's shaping up to be an already frenetic 10 weeks? And will the GOP push for right-to-work legislation trigger a repeat of last year's Democratic walkout?
The idea economy is here at the Purdue Research Park at Ameriplex, Indianapolis. Set on 80 acres near the new International Airport, the Purdue Research Park at Ameriplex, Indianapolis. The idea economy is here.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, we're looking at long agendas, a short session, and what amounts to a big halftime show, namely the Super Bowl. That pretty much ensures that we won't have to wait long to see the legislative equivalent of the two-minute drill. In fact, in some ways, it's already started. Like the state's lawmakers, we have a lot of ground to cover, so let's get right to it. Joining me for the kickoff of the 2012 session are House Speaker Brian Bosma, an Indianapolis Republican, House Minority Leader Pat Bauer, a South Bend Democrat, Senate President Pro Tem David Long, a Fort Wayne Republican, and Senate Minority Leader Vi Simpson, an Ellettsville Democrat. What would this show or any political show be without sports metaphors? We'd be nowhere, I guess.
That was a little over the top, but we're with you.
I appreciate that.
I'm wondering where long and short jokes were going.
Hey, at least you can all, you're starting the show, I guess, with some good humor. Let me ask, first of all, you two gentlemen, Pat Bauer, Brian Bosma, is this the first time you two have sat down face-to-face this session? Because there was the first day attempt to get you two together. That has not happened. Is this the first? Are we witnessing the first exchange?
This is it.
Well, I thank you for allowing this forum.
Pretty dynamic moment.
Well, hey.
It's why we showed up this morning.
Well, I appreciate you're making this the forum, so maybe we'll make some news. We'll see what happens. You know, I made the reference to two-minute drill, and I guess what I'm saying there is that you could argue that it's off to a fast start, or maybe not off to a fast start, but clearly, if memory served, by this time last year, I mean, you were nowhere near the level of frustration, perhaps, or mutual contempt, if those aren't too strong words. It took weeks to get to that point last year, and here, on the first day of the session, we got to that point because of the right-to-work issue, and clearly that's, as Senator Long has pointed out, is the 1,000-pound gorilla, so we will talk about that during this segment, I promise. Let's start with something, though, to warm things up, where you might be more in agreement. The decision to rescind the occupancy cap in the State House, you know, that lasted for all of about 2 hours. The notion of limiting to 3,000 the number of people there, which many people said prohibited protesters, perhaps labor unions, from showing up and voicing their concerns. Brian Bosma, you agreed with the governor's decision.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a fine balance between public safety and public access to the state's most public building. And I think we were all a little surprised when it was discovered that there is no occupancy limit declared previously at the state capitol, although there seems to be for every other building, even tents I've been in before, for receptions. But clearly the numbers that were set here would have squelched the opportunity for Hoosiers to access their elected officials. So I think the governor did the exact right thing yesterday by suspending the number cap.
And Pat Bauer, you and Vice Simpson, for that matter, both suggested that there was clearly a political motivation here. Is that still your contention, or is that...
That word suggest is a little soft, I would say, but well, when you walk in...
Hey, you balked at contempt a few minutes ago. Now you're wanting to go soft, but...
Well, when you walk in and you see a sea of blue, then you all of a sudden see red, because...
You're referring to the number of state police troopers that were...
I thought they were having a convention at first, but I thought it was the wrong thing to do, and I think he just as the whole thing was going over the cliff, he managed to step back.
I mean, was this a cliff, David Long, or is this
I think it was there's a lot of things mixed into this, clearly, and one of them was that there was a security problem at the State House and has been which I think they were finally dealing with, and none too soon. I mean, you come in with your security card, walk in off the parking lot, and 10 people walk in with you with no one checking to see whether, you know, who they are, or nobody walking through a metal detector, for instance, which we have for the public on another access point. That was a problem, and no public building like ours in the country, I think, had that issue. So in that sense, it was a good thing to ratchet up the security for all the people in the building and all of our visitors as well. But that being said, I think Brian said it very well, there's a, you know, you want to err on the side of access versus security, and I think that's what the governor's decision was yesterday. It was the right one to make, and hopefully we go forward and we don't have any incidents there, and we have a good session.
And we'll whether see. Or not there was a political motivation, Vice Simpson, let me ask you, it clearly motivated a lot of organized labor representatives to show up on Wednesday. They were lined up outside the building, so maybe the perception that it was political may have exacerbated the tensions that already existed.
Well, I think clearly it was meant to stifle dissent, and we cannot be about that. We cannot allow that to stand. And so on Friday, we called for the governor to overturn the decision, and he did, and I give him credit for doing so. But there were a lot more people out in that line yesterday, standing for hours in the cold, by the way, than union members. There were, I walked up and down the line and shook hands with almost everyone, welcoming them to the People's House, which became the People's House again. And there were people from Occupy South Bend, for instance. There were most elected officials from Evansville were there. There were candidates and office holders and all kinds of people standing in line. It wasn't just union members.
So everybody's glad it's gone. I told you there would be agreement. We'd start off easily here.
And before, absolutely.
And we're getting it right to work, but one more thing here on the subject of crowds. Crowds, Super Bowl, big crowd, a lot of attention on the city. That happens to fall at the midpoint of the session when the bills need to move from one chamber to another. There's a lot of activity and excitement about getting certain pieces of legislation through the process and signed before that. The governor has suggested human trafficking restrictions to help curb prostitution, the statewide smoking ban he'd like to see in place. And, of course, the conventional wisdom is that Republicans, including the governor, would like to see this perhaps take place also on that time frame for the right to work issue. See, I told you we'd get to the right to work issue. How does the Super Bowl and that self-imposed or that de facto halftime, if you will, affect what is already a very compressed, very frenetic schedule?
Well, first, just calendar-wise, it does compress the first half of the session because out-of-town legislators are ejected from their hotel rooms for nearly a week. So we have to get our work done a little bit more quickly than normally.
Well, I'm moving in with you, Brian.
Well, I have a couple extra bedrooms, so
that's a drawback.
I got to pick and choose.
Yeah, I got to pick and choose
who comes. So it does make that a bit more compressed. But some of the issues that you mentioned, that I was really surprised to hear this human trafficking issue, but apparently this does follow the Super Bowl event, and it's critical. The FBI has told us and others that it's critical that this piece of legislation proceed promptly. The smoking ban, I think there needs to be a healthy discussion about that since it has not been dealt with locally in Indianapolis. And there's some discussion about labor unrest in conjunction with the Super Bowl. So, yes,
it would be. So you're saying, yes, you'd like to see right
like to
work
see,
done
I'd like to
before
see the,
February
the work
5th.
Done in that area because there have been overt threats of labor unrest to disrupt those proceedings. So we're prepared to move promptly on that issue as well.
Worried about the NFL Players Union coming in? And,
no.
I mean, Pat Bauer,
no, those guys aren't really union members. They have so much money coming their way. That's not part of it at all.
Pat Bauer, you've suggested that the urgency that surrounds us, there's a desire to sort of be done with this so it doesn't, what promises to be a very contentious discussion is not in the national spotlight. Is that your assessment? And is that a good thing or a bad thing? I talk about a loaded question or a softball question. I guess we know where you stand on this.
Well, first of all, I'd like to see the Baltimore Ravens play in the former Baltimore Colts Stadium. I think that'd just be a historic moment. But, yeah, I think that if you have an international forum to put up your sign and say this stadium was built by union workers, that would be a nice sign. But
so you'd like to see this, I mean, as part of the strategy,
I think
to stretch
some
it
of
out the end.
I would rather have things done correctly And since you aren't going to bring up right to work, I just think
no, I'm going to bring it up. In fact, we're just—I'm letting you guys kind
I,
of
but
cozy
think,
up to
I don't,
each other a
I don't
bit.
Think that should preclude hearings around the state, perhaps, or just so people know what the effects of right to work would be. But the human trafficking thing certainly is one that
and
is
smoking,
a concern.
Smoking, is that something that needs to get done?
Well, smoking and human trafficking, of course, you're saying it follows the Super Bowl. But as you can tell by my voice, I would like to protect it as much as I can from all kinds of things, including smoking. So I think that should have been yesterday, last year, and before. So that's, yes, I'd like to see that done.
So, and we're getting here to right to work. I know you want to talk about that. You would like to stretch this out, of course. You didn't on Wednesday. You kept the caucus off the floor in chamber. You said it wasn't a walkout. You described it as a filibuster. But the suggestion is you'll continue to do that until you have these statewide, or until these gentlemen have the statewide hearings, at least until that point. Is that an accurate assessment? You're prepared to stay off the floor in filibuster?
No, I'm prepared to have discussions over it. More than anything else, it's just not. It's not a. It's one to bring dialogue forward. That's all.
And is it? I know the suggestion is that you won't be. Your caucus won't be leaving the state. Last year, of course, 5 weeks in Urbana, Illinois, at the infamous Comfort Suites Hotel, became the caucus headquarters. That's not. Are you ruling that out this time, leaving the state, or
well,
is it?
Well, the Comfort Suites aren't that comfortable.
Boy, he's made friends of the opponents of the Ravens, or their enemies were there, and now the Comfort Suites proprietors. So you're not leaving the building or the state?
I don't think so, no. I think we can work this out. I think it's a matter of letting people know what this right to work issue is, because there's a great disparity in opinion, in facts, and I would like to, the people, you know, people around the rest of the state didn't even know we had a closure ruling on the statehouse access. It took a while. And they certainly don't know what right to work is, because it sounds good just by its title.
Just the semantics you're saying, people don't understand.
So I don't think, I don't know what the big rush was. It wasn't a issue in the last election, so the public really didn't get to weigh in if they wanted a pro right to work.
Well, neither was smoking, and neither was sex trafficking, and neither 95% of the issues we'll be dealing with.
That
this
is a good
year.
Question, though. I mean, the governor has said this is his priority. Both of you have said this is your priority for your caucus. Why the urgency now?
Vi and I think the Senate needs to weigh in on at least one of these discussions. So let me take a shot at this. Okay.
That's why I was directing the question to you.
That's fine. But no, you know, look, we had a 6-week walkout last year by the House Democrat Caucus on this very issue. But very, very highly publicized protests last year on this very issue in the State House. The whole state knows about right to work. We talked extensively about having a summer study committee, and we did that with well over 20 hours of public testimony from national experts and others on this issue, on both sides of the issue. It was a bipartisan legislative committee. That is a pretty heavily and widespread report that's out there for anyone to read. It's online.
So that takes announced, the place
announced,
of this,
we
of
announced
the
we were going to go and introduce the bills in November. So to suggest that we now have to go all around the state to discuss it even further, I don't. That would be unprecedented, and I think
no, it wouldn't.
Well, it would be on this on one piece of legislation. So let me suggest that that really has nothing to do with the issue. This is about not wanting to discuss it. This is about having a group of protesters around the State House and playing to that group and doing what you can not to hear the issue. I think we're elected by our constituents to sit in our seats and do our jobs. If you're not in your seat, you're not representing the people who elected you. They have no eyes or ears, no voice in the State House.
So he's not doing his job.
I think we're not doing our job if we're not in our seats working. I mean, go in there and debate the issues, have a vigorous debate. And at the end of the day, take it to the voters if you don't win the debate. That's been the tradition of the
that's
been
the
tradition.
A referendum on it?
That's been the tradition. No, that's been the tradition of the legislature. It's the right thing to do. And to go through this for a second year, not willing to sit in your seats and do your job, I think is absolutely a terrible message to send to the people of this state, and it should stop.
He says you're not doing your job. And don't worry, Vice Simpson, I know if you probably didn't, if there were not a supermajority among Republicans in your chamber, you probably would be filibustering as well.
They absolutely are doing their job because they went to caucus to discuss the fast track idea of right to work. I absolutely support fast tracking human trafficking, absolutely support fast tracking the smoking ban across the state. Those have a nexus to the Super Bowl. Those are directly related to the Super Bowl. There is absolutely no and by the way, I'm offended that human trafficking has been discovered suddenly because of the Super Bowl. We've had legislation on that for years and nobody paid any attention to it. Prostitution and human trafficking of women and children internationally is a huge problem, always has been. So anyway, if it takes the Super Bowl to get those passed, great. But the right to work has no nexus to the Super Bowl. There's no reason to fast track it because it is an important issue. It's a controversial issue and it will have an impact. Some say positive, some say negative, impact on millions of people in the state of Indiana, the middle class, the working people. And we ought to take time and treat it like every other piece of legislation. Fast tracking, I don't understand why.
Well,
I don't get it.
I mean, there is an interesting issue here. But
and
first
by the
hearing...
way, the Players Association, the NFL Players Association, is absolutely a labor union, and they are protected by collective bargaining.
Well, actually, I think last year they did actually come out against right-to-work legislation.
That's
perhaps,
true.
Perhaps not
That's
surprisingly. I mean, fast track or not, you're in a situation where you two have decided to have a joint hearing, the first hearing on this, House-Senate combined hearing. Doesn't that suggest that there's, what is the urgency? Why not let it go through the typical, quote-unquote, typical process where it's in one chamber and then it moves to the other chamber?
Oh, it's very much so going through the typical process. The joint hearing was anticipating a delay tactic, which is precisely what these requests are, to take the unprecedented step of not moving a bill, as we always do, through the state house process, but to travel around the state so there can be protests everywhere. I mean, it's rather transparent. So this is not getting any special attention any more than any other issue. There are a dozen bills that are scheduled in the next 2 weeks in the House for hearings, maybe more than that in the Senate. I don't know. I've not looked at their calendar, but certainly at many. And this is very typical for what happens, with the exception of we hit the ground running this time on all issues, not just this issue. There have been years where, not when I've been the speaker in the House, where we've sat with our feet up on the desk for a couple of weeks while people try to make a decision as to what direction to go. Senator Long and I announced on November 16th this was a priority for us. An entire summer study committee on the issue. This is no surprise. And Hoosiers understand this issue because they've been watching it for a year and the antics that have surrounded its non-passage at this point.
Although you look at some of the polling, the Bowen Institute at Ball State, it shows almost evenly divided support and opposition. And if memory serves, you had 40+ percent.
48%.
Who didn't know. So
does
that not suggest that there's
right
confusion about
people
the issue?
Don't know what it is.
The issue is simple, and it is simply that you cannot put as a condition of employment either union membership or payment of union dues or fees. That's it. And when you explain it like that, the overwhelming number of Hoosiers agree with that.
He doesn't even understand.
No,
it's
exactly what it is.
It's
exactly
not that.
Explain
that's
what
the
you
reason
think it is.
That is, you have to pay a fee for services rendered, and it's a.
That's what I just said. Fees.
No, you said dues, and you have
I
to
said
be
dues
union
or
membership.
Fees. Membership,
you
dues,
also said
or fees.
Forced membership, which of course is already prohibited by federal law.
But it happens. You know, I've got contracts
so
where it
that's
happens
the reason.
In
Indiana.
You mentioned Wednesday when you were in caucus throughout the day that you would stay suggested that the caucus would stay off the floor as participating in what you described, as I mentioned earlier, in this filibuster until the carrot was dangled of the notion of the statewide hearings. But a few minutes ago, you said you're willing to discuss. You got him in front of you here. He's about 5 feet across from you. What is it? What room is there for discussion here? It seems that you're
about
clearly
five
pretty
feet.
Well, about 5 feet, but you're pretty clearly on one side. I mean, is there discuss? What compromise would be acceptable?
Well, we
to?
Already agreed to. I guess he's saying a different I know he's saying a different interpretation of forced union membership. That's just not the case. And then there's all the other misinterpretations. They say they're going to create jobs and businesses won't come here. We had this great forum where they had a great debate with a member in the audience and I sort of felt left out for a few moments when they were taking on a member of the audience. But they say businesses won't come. They won't name the businesses. They won't name how much they pay or whether they have health care. And there's more information the public needs. And this is a very important issue. The last time we had right to work here, it was repealed 8 years later, and it caused a lot of consternation during that 8 years. So why not avoid it? And by the way, I was Ways and Means Chairman, and I had 22 hearings around the state on a tax issue. We also had hearings on the Commerce Connector around the state.
Redistricting.
And redistricting. So it's not unprecedented, and this is a much more controversial issue.
Yeah, the statistic that the governor's used and you all have used is, and touching on what you just said, Pat Bauer, about 25 to 50% of companies won't even look at Indiana because of the current statute. And there has been this suggestion by organized labor that's an outdated notion based on old numbers and old data. Can you name, Senator Long, a company
look,
that...
Look, without even getting into the very specific, this company, that company, I mean, you have the national site selection people coming in to our committee and telling us that that's the fact, but they will not name their clients. That's part of the problem. And so you sit there, you put you in a box, well, if you can't say, then it doesn't exist. That's not true. And if you look at the report that we had, and if you listen to the committee hearings tomorrow, if people pay attention to this, if people come to the meetings and listen, there will be evidence from experts around the country specifically saying that is a true statistic, that regardless of how good a state you are, and we're a pretty good state as far as a business environment, we really have done a good job in creating a great place to grow a business here and create jobs. It doesn't matter if you're not a right-to-work state. You are missing out on a ton of opportunities. It's just a fact. And so whether people want to believe it's fair or not, that's not the issue. If you want to argue about whether the jobs pay more in Alabama than they do in Indiana and what the quality of life is here versus there, we can certainly talk about that. You got a statistic, I do too. But the reality is, from listening to these experts, is that the jobs are not coming to Indiana. And with our state in such a situation, where we're scratching and clawing for jobs here, and we need to continue everything we can to create jobs in Indiana, for us not to take this hurdle out of the way, in my opinion, is a mistake.
They don't want to face it in an election. It was a hidden agenda in the last election, apparently, and they don't want to face it. They, for a while, didn't want to face the people in the State House, and they don't want to face them around
the state. We're getting some frantic wrap-up signals, but Vice Ensign, last word. You can't deny the Senate a quorum, unlike your Democratic counterparts in the House. What can you do? What are you prepared to do?
Well, yesterday we had a conversation at the microphone on the Senate floor, and Senator Long committed to having the usual traditional process in the Senate. He would seem to be unaware that the Speaker was intending to fast track right to work, and we were going to have the traditional airing of this this issue, just like we do other controversial, important issues. And so I look forward to the debate.
We are out of time. I suppose it's fitting that our roundtable would be dominated by this discussion, as I presume the session itself will. We got to about that far on my list of topics. We'll get you back, for the other topics that perhaps we'll. Appear and surface this session. Again, my guests have been House Speaker Brian Bosma, an Indianapolis Republican, House Minority Leader Pat Bauer, a South Bend Democrat, Senate President Pro Tem David Long, a Fort Wayne Republican, and Senate Minority Leader Vi Simpson, an Ellettsville Democrat. On the next Indiana Lawmakers, our final conversation with outgoing Governor Mitch Daniels.
By adding 1 cent to the tax burden of our fellow citizens.
And time now for an Indiana Lawmaker staple, our weekly conversation with the show's chief analyst, scorekeeper, and prognosticator, Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight. Welcome back for another season, Ed.
I'm going to punch you.
No more sports metaphors, please. Right to work. How is this playing with the public? I mean, clearly there's some strong divisions here, and both sides, I think, see some political gain here. Who's right?
Well, we talked during the roundtable about the 48% who in the Ball State University poll said that they really don't know what's going on, don't have an opinion yet. I think that's the only valid independent poll that we've seen on that. The others really depend upon the way that you ask the question. And the Ball State question seemed to be posed in the least kind of threatening and the most informative manner. So I think you probably have to go with those numbers if you're looking to see where the public really stands on this issue.
And where do you think this will head in the next few weeks? Let's not even bother looking ahead to February 1st or February 5th when the Super Bowl is. Just for the next few weeks, are we going to see these continued well, I won't say walkouts, filibusters, or will we see some discussion of the type that Pat Bauer alluded to during the roundtable?
Sure. If you look back and think back at what Vive Simpson and Pat Bauer, David Long and Brian Bosma were saying in the roundtable, there seems to be some agreement that they want to get some things done very quickly that kind of overarch everything, that the child trafficking legislation, that perhaps even the smoking ban. There's some things that I think that they can get out of the way before they get down to the real nitty-gritty things and the things that have divided them and will divide them throughout the rest of the session.
So this will not end up being a one-trick pony in terms of right to work. There is going to be room, you think, for other issues.
Oh, well, there may be some room before they start debating that, but I think once they start getting into that, then again, all things may be off the table again.
Sort of like our roundtable. Once we got into right to work, there was no change in topics. Very good. We'll have to leave it there. Look forward to hearing what you have to say next week. For more information, episode streams, and extra content, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can access live streaming coverage of the General Assembly on the Internet as well. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Lawmakers under News. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Chwanis. We'll be back next week with Governor Mitch Daniels. Take care.
The idea economy is here at the Purdue Research Park. A powerful economic engine and a technology conduit from Chicago to Louisville. Purdue Research Park, the idea economy is here.